Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtzcast. Cole Pettum here as always, and we are back for another opposition match preview ahead of Sunday's game at Villa Park against Manchester United, of course. And with that being said, we need a United fan in order to talk about Manchester United, of course, because I don't really have any qualifications in that area of expertise. So we do have Simon from the Devil's Trident podcast with me right now. So I'll turn it over to you, Simon. How's it going?
Oh, not so bad. Busy fixture list coming up for us, 4 games in 8 days. So, yeah, it's the starting tonight. We've got the Europa League, so it's going to be a tricky few days for us.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm shocked that they gave you such a tight schedule to finish up the season. I guess they really want that to be done, to be honest. But
yeah,
I guess for at least a positive for you guys, the Premier League's basically wrapped up in all kind of, I guess, essences of the word, really, at this point. And I guess really with your Europa League game, of course, as well, you could probably say that's basically wrapped up too. So even before we get into that, we'll kind of backtrack. We'll go to the start of the season. And really, from your perspective and any United fans that are your friends, of course, and colleagues, what was their kind of perspective, mindset, goals, ambitions, all that kind of stuff going into the season?
From my perspective, I think a lot of fans, we just want to see a bit of progress. Obviously, we had a few seasons where we were knocking around fifth or sixth in the league, and, you know, we won a few trophies under Mourinho, and that was all right, but, you know, the league is the bread and butter. We want to be competing for trophies and competing for the league title, and we're not there yet. I think Liverpool and City have been miles ahead of the pack for 2 or 3 years now. Obviously, Liverpool have slipped away a little bit again this season, but it's just about building on third place last year. I mean, I think we did well to get to third place, because I think it was like January, February time. We were still like eighth or ninth, and like quite a way away. But after Project Restart, we really kicked on, especially, and, you know, broke into the top four, got third on the last day. So it wasn't as comfortable as we are now. So I think that's progression in one respect. But yeah, just, I don't think anyone was thinking we were going to win the league, but, you know, if we could improve on third, get close to City and Liverpool. Obviously, we've overtook Liverpool by quite a distance, but I think that's a bit of an anomaly, really, with their season, with injuries and stuff. So, you know, second is decent. I think we can pretty much say we're in a Europa League final as well, so there's trophy on the way. So that's kind of what we wanted, really. We wanted to be, you know, a cup win. I mean, we'd have probably preferred to stay in the Champions League and, you know, go further in that. But in some respects as well, you know, if we'd have stayed in the Champions League, would we have got to a final? Possibly, but, you know, we've got more chance at the moment of winning the Europa League. So maybe that was best for us and best for our progression.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, of course, everyone will hear this on a Friday, so that game against Roma would have already happened anyway, so everyone will know the result. And if there was somehow a shocker, I do apologize, but I think we can all probably agree that that is wrapped up and pretty well put to bed. I think even if you get one away goal, that more than definitely kills any kind of potential hope they had in any starry dream of theirs. But regardless of that, switching over to your manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, what's the mindset with I guess fans and him? Because I know when he came in, there was, oh, you know what, he's coming in obviously after the sacking of Mourinho. It's just kind of to bring some maybe stability, kind of a feel-good factor in there with a former player. A lot of criticism's been in the past. This season, to be honest, I thought he's done a really good job. But where do you sit with him personally?
I'll always back whichever manager we've got. I mean, I even backed to David Moyes until a few like months before the end, basically, because I think that's just kind of inbred in United in United fan base, really. And same with Mourinho. Like, he wasn't at all perfect, but, you know, we backed him whilst we had him until it went obviously quite sour. But with Ollie, we back him even more with him being a club legend and stuff. But I think he's taken us in the right direction. Sorry, my dog's making a lot of noise next to me.
It's all good.
He's rolling around on the floor. So he needed time to build his own squad, basically, because he'd been left the ruins of four different managers, if you include Sir Alex Ferguson. So, you know, he had to build a team in his image, which took a few transfer windows, and he had to get rid of players that maybe were, you know, coasting in the squad. And yeah, I think he's got us going in the right direction. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, he gets the club, but he genuinely does, and he understands what it takes to be a successful United player. You know, you have to have a drive and determination to play 50, 60 games a year, you know, twice a week, like we have done, sometimes three times a week to compete in competition. And I think he's definitely got us going in the right direction. You can look at points tallies from the last couple of seasons. We've got 66. I think we're on 67 now, you know, with five games left. So there's obvious progression there. Moving to get to a final as well. We've been getting to all the semi-finals. I think five or six semi-finals in the last 2 years under Solskjaer. So we weren't always doing that under Van Gaal and Mourinho either. So I think he's doing a good job. I mean, it depends whether he gets backing as to whether he manages to take it to another level. But he's got everybody playing for him, and I think that's key. You can see everybody's on the same page and working for him. And it's not always perfect under him, but in some ways he's learning on the job as well. You know, this is by far the biggest job he's had. He's not even had much of a stepping stone up to it in terms of, you know, like maybe a bigger Premier League club. Obviously he had the time with Cardiff, and that was a difficult situation in the relegation battle, but he's not had, you know, that sort of higher Premier League job that would kind of maybe have prepared him for this. He's come straight from the Norwegian league to us, and that's part of him understanding the club, I think, is why he's like landed on his feet and done well in that way.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's perfect workplace experience, I guess. There's no better you could arguably get. So with that being said, and I mean, really, I guess, what is the definition of long-term or longevity even in football anymore? I feel like it's more than probably 2 to 3 years, more than, I don't know, it used to be 5 to 10 years, more than anything. But do you think he's the man to lead you forward? I know every club wants a big name and yada, 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 but where do you stand with that? Do you think he can kind of lead you forward for at least the next 3 to 4 years potentially?
Yeah, I think so. When you look at it, who's really out there that's going to come in and take over him that's available? I don't think there really is anybody. I mean, there was a lot of talk of Pochettino before he went to PSG, but I don't necessarily think Pochettino would have been any better than Solskjaer anyway. I mean, he's got a track record of decent teams, but not winning trophies. But then again, Solskjaer's not won big trophies. He's won stuff in Norway. Pochettino built a good team spirit at Spurs, and you could see there was a real togetherness. But then again, Solskjaer has that. So that was the one that maybe people thought could come in, and, you know, there was talk of Tuchel at some points. But I don't see who is better placed to come in and take over him that's available. And he's set a job in motion here. Do you know what I mean? He's got the foundations in place now. To take him out now doesn't make any sense. You know, when he's clearly building in the right direction, I think the next 2 or 3 years, obviously we want to be competing properly for a Premier League title. I mean, it's hard when City are so good under Guardiola. And obviously Klopp will probably turn Liverpool around, and Tuchel will probably have Chelsea competing a bit more force next year. So yeah, I think he's definitely worth sticking with. Like I said, he's absolutely not perfect, but he's beaten all the big managers this season and last season. He's got a good track record in them big games. So it's just we've had a few injuries along the way this season to key players, a lot last season with Pogba being out and Rashford being out a lot, and Martial being out a bit this season. Obviously not had a great season anyway, but we started the season in a poor way from having the Europa League going into August and stuff, so we're a bit undercooked. So it's hard to really judge him properly on a full season when there's been so many ways that it's been distracted, if you see what I mean. Like obviously the pandemic last year and the season overrunning, and it kind of affected this season as well. So maybe next season with fans in the stadium, with a trophy hopefully under our belt, and hopefully a solid second place finish, I think we'll start to see what this United team's made of, and Solskjaer really.
And I guess the one thing that we can kind of move on to, we've already discussed obviously expectations for fans, we've discussed the manager, and I guess one serious topic before that we kind of get into the actual match on Sunday, I guess, would be the fan protest. We all know about the defunct Super League that was and now isn't, obviously, and it's just kind of a ongoing craziness, really. I don't really know what kind of appropriate word I could say to make this PG, but of course we all know about the protests that went on last weekend outside the stadium, then went on inside, and of course you have the odd few that just take it too far and do it to be absolute knobs, and every fan base has those, unfortunately. They just exist in society. You can't really do anything about that. But what have you made of all of it, being a United fan? Because I honestly haven't talked to a United fan and got their perspective on it yet.
Yeah, that was a long time coming, to be fair. The club, the fans have wanted the Glazers out of the club since they arrived, basically. The people opposed it when they came in. There was protests then. I mean, I think Sir Bobby Charlton, had to apologise to the Glazers when they arrived, because there was protests as they arrived. And it's come up in waves since. I mean, 2010 was a big protest then, the Green and Gold campaign, where we were successful at the time. You know, we were in between Champions League finals and winning leagues most seasons, but we still knew that they were bad for the club, because they've saddled us with so much debt to buy the club, and are just taking money out in dividends all the time and not actually paying the debt down at all. I mean, they've had 16 years to hammer away at a £500 million debt, or circa that sort of amount. And I think they paid, what, £80 million off it or something. So there's always going to be anger towards them, and there's always Glazers out campaigns going on Twitter. But I think this is, the Super League was the straw that, you know, brought the camel's back in many respects. It just showed a disdain that the owners have for the fans, or maybe not disdain, but just they just don't care what we think. And I think if there wouldn't have been such an uproar about it, they would have happily gone through with it. And yeah, it's just a misunderstanding of the fans, like I say, or they just don't care what our feelings are. So I think it was expected, that protest. I mean, there was one the week before that was a bit lighter and didn't go as far. They weren't breaking into the stadium or even down the concourse or anything like that. It was just outside, and a much smaller turnout. But I think I always felt that the second protest that was always planned anyway was going to be the big one. It seemed more organised. It was going to be, you know, before a game, like one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game in the Premier League season. So it was always going to have the world's eyes on it. And it was probably always going to get out of hand, just because of the level of anger. And it was a lot of genuine match-going fans that had all met up and not seen each other for ages, and had just a lot of pent-up anger, I think. And those sort of things can always spill over, especially with a few people that take it too far. You can't condone like the criminal damage and stuff like that happened. But the general message is one that I'm fully behind, and I think most United fans are fully behind, because we've just had enough of this ownership taking money out of our club and taking us for a ride, basically.
Do you foresee any change potentially? Like, I'm not asking, of course, I'm not going to ask you if you think they're going to sell up this summer. Like, whoever would even have the answer to that? But do you see any kind of changes kind of coming about maybe in the next 6, 12, 18 months at least, something?
You know, I think there's a chance of it. There's more so a chance this time than any other point, I think. I mean, the fans are using a campaign called Not a Penny More at the moment, which is essentially targeting sponsors of United, and there's plenty of them, and just leaving bad reviews on the Trustpilot things and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, trying to destroy the relationship that our sponsors have with the owners and the club, and essentially hitting the owners' worm where it hurts, in their wallets, basically. So, I mean, I think they'll get a bit tetchy if, you know, if sponsors start pulling out and it becomes less worth it for them to own the club. But they want a lot of money to sell the club. It was reported that they want $4 billion, which I don't know who has $4 billion. I mean, there's talk of Saudi Arabia and stuff like that, but I don't know if that's any better, to be honest with you, with human rights and all that sort of stuff that you have to kind of battle with in a moral way. So sometimes the Glazers are like the lesser of two evils, but if we can have someone better than both of them, that'd be great. But I don't think it'll happen immediately, but they have to start listening to what the fans want. And I mean, the 50 plus one campaign's going for try and get the fans some sort of say in what happens over voting rights and things like that. So maybe that'll be a step in the right direction. Maybe that would appease some of the fans. And there's the United Supporters Trust that are campaigning to get independent directors on the board to make sure that decisions like the Super League one don't go through without, you know, fan backing and a full support base backing, basically. So there's things that can happen that can make it a little bit better, but I don't see them budging quite yet. But like I say, the more money they lose and the more it becomes less worth it for them to own the club. I mean, they only care about taking the dividends out each year. And if it becomes harder and harder to do that, then is the juice worth the squeeze for them, especially with more protests likely to happen next week and beyond? So the answer is I don't really know, but if there was ever a time, it's now.
Yeah, like, I always find it interesting because I compare it to, like, going to a concert. Like, if no one shows up to a concert, whoever's putting out that money is not going to be happy. They're going to panic. It's in my mind, it's the same thing with a football stadium. If no one shows up, there's major issues. And it's just so weird to me. I know there's other things you can do, marketing and stuff, so you'll reach other fans abroad, so you can cover money and aspects through sponsorship and TV and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, without fans there, it's nothing. And it's just really nice that fans are starting to realize they actually have more power than anyone really thought. And I think that's probably the most important thing, and long may it continue, because I think we've probably seen for the last, oh God, at least 10 to 15 years, the disconnect is probably greater and greater every single year. And you know what, if this helps bring that kind of gap a little bit closer, then long may that continue. But anyway, Simon, let's try to get a little bit more positive, or I guess in a positive for you and maybe a positive for me. I know we haven't beaten United in I don't even know how long, it feels like an eternity. And of course, it's second versus 10th. We're in probably our best season in ages, where we don't even have to worry about relegation. And it's honestly, it's very kind of making me uncomfortable because I'm not used to it, but it's also nice at the same time. But I guess from your perspective, we've already kind of mentioned it, that the league's basically wrapped up for everybody essentially. You guys are almost certainly heading to a Europa League final. So from your perspective, how do you look at this game in particular?
I still feel it's difficult. I mean, yeah, second versus 10th, maybe so, but the fixture pileup that we've got, I think it makes all the games this week that we've got difficult, basically, because we've got a fully fit squad, so I think that's more than a lot of teams have got to pick from. So there is a scope for, you know, wholesale changes each game so that it can keep it fresh. But our performance levels tend to drop when he makes wholesale changes, so I don't think in that respect results are necessarily in the bag. I mean, we've got a tough week with Leicester and Liverpool following, you know, within 2 days of each other. So I think that's what makes it all difficult. If these games were more spread out, I'd be more confident, but I think there's more scope for us dropping points now with that Liverpool cancellation and the rearrangement this week. So yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to go in it and lose all of them, but I think we just have to be mindful of running the players into the ground, especially, like you say, with hopefully a final on the horizon and the Euros and stuff like that beyond it. So, I mean, I'm still confident for Sunday. I don't think that's going to be the problem game, because we would have been playing Thursday and Sunday anyway, and we would have been, you know, prepared for that, and he probably had a plan of what his team was going to be anyway in those games. But we've got the situation where we've had 7 days off and since the last game with the game being cancelled at the weekend. So we're going to go from being absolutely fresh and maybe a tiny bit out of rhythm because we're used to playing twice a week to essentially from nothing to all rather than all or nothing. So, yeah. In terms of Sunday, I mean, it's at Villa Park. We did well there last season, didn't we? But it's a different scenario. Like you say, you've been much better this season. And I think you've done well against the big sides as well. I mean, obviously the Liverpool result was a fantastic one for you.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm worried about anything like that happening, but yeah, maybe I'm more worried about the games beyond this one. Let's just say.
Yeah, no, like honestly, that's more than fair. I mean, even for you guys, of course, like I said before, we're recording this on Thursday. So honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if you guys even had a little bit more rotation tonight to just kind of get you ready for the next week. I can't see you guys screwing up a 6-2 aggregate scoreline. Like that's, I don't even know if that's ever happened, to be honest. I think maybe there was AC Milan and Arsenal had one where Arsenal almost came back in the second leg. And I think they were down like 5-1 or something ridiculous on aggregate, like 10 odd years ago, if not more, but that's as far as I can think as a comparable, but it's going to kind of be an interesting one. Of course, everyone knows Jack Grealish probably won't be playing for another week and a half, most likely. So that's definitely a factor there. We know that our team can be hot and cold. And of course, coming off a win against Everton, it's always kind of tough to see what team we get because we go through these weird patches lately where we just can't string passes together. We can't even get a few shots on goal. And then we'll have like 3 weeks where we're just, you know what, it's maybe not a crazy load of opportunities, but we're playing just so much more comfortably and more assured and there's more kind of coherency. So it'll be an interesting one for sure. And you know what, I mean, you said it there before, Simon, we're playing better against your, I guess you could say your traditional big sides. And I think that was the biggest gripe last season for us up until we beat Arsenal, which basically kept us up for most of that. So it's definitely one of those things where fans are kind of going into a more positive mindset on. But from your perspective, is if there's one kind of area where you look at your squad in United, is there one area where you think Villa could get at them?
I think it totally depends on who plays, and I can't even begin to guess who is going to play. I mean, I do a predicted 11 for each game on our social pages. And today I've just thrown out an absolute wild guess and called it just that because I genuinely don't know if it will make us field a weakened side in the Europa League and then go strong against you guys. So, I mean, if he's forced to play Matic on Sunday, you know, maybe that is possibly a weakness because his legs are going a little bit. For me, it all boils down to who plays in midfield and whether and where Pogba plays. I mean, he could drop Pogba back into a central midfield role with someone like Fred or Scott McTominay, and I'd feel a lot more comfortable then. But if the rotation means that it ends up being Fred and Matic in the middle of midfield, then they're the games that I start worrying, basically, because we've struggled to put passes together and there's a chance of us being overrun with Matic's older legs in there. So, yeah, it entirely depends on how he works the rotation and, you know, which games he prioritises really as to what our weaknesses would be. If we're going full strength, I'm not too worried about any weaknesses, really. Our fullbacks have come on leaps and bounds. Maguire and Lindelof are generally solid every game. We got two really good keepers that are both, not in the form of their life or anything, but they're all both in form and they're just rotating each game. And most of our strikers and forwards are firing, maybe apart from Rashford, who has been carrying injuries for months and months and months. So, but he's not a worry. He still performs in it. He still gets goals and assists even when he's not at the top of his game. So I'm not too worried, other than maybe what the central midfield partnership could be.
Oh, fair enough, but. Anyway, Simon, before we wrap things up here, it's a Holtcast tradition. Some people kind of refuse to give their score predictions because they don't do those things, but I'm going to be bold and ask you anyway. So could you give me your score prediction, please?
I'm thinking a draw. So I'm thinking maybe 1-1, purely because of the fixture pile-up and just not knowing what sort of team to even begin to expect. So, yeah, I think possibly a rotated side, and that might knock us out of our stride a little bit. So
that's more than fair. I'm going to be totally unrealistic. I don't particularly think this, but I'll just get people riled up anyways. A lot of people can be negative. Some people think Dean Smith should be sacked still, even though I don't understand that. But anyways,
what?
Oh, trust me, there's unrealistic people. You lose one game, the whole world's kind of crumbling to their feet. So
that's the same with all clubs, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. So it's just unrealistic people moaning and not taking a second to think. But we haven't beaten you guys, I think, since like the mid-90s, I think, at Villa Park or something I was reading not too long ago. So I'll say 2-1. Why not? I mean, will it happen? Probably not. But I just want to see it happen in my lifetime at least. So it would be good to see. Unrealistic, but it is what it is. But anyway, Simon, thank you very much for joining me. And if people want to find you guys on any social media outlets, where can they find you?
We're on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. If you just search The Devil's Trident, that's our handle. Actually, it's without the on Twitter, but The Devil's Trident everywhere else. And thedevilstrident.com, you'll find everything, all the podcasts and our blog and everything from there. So it's probably the best place to go.
Perfect. Well, like I said before, thank you very much for joining me. Guys, we'll wrap it up there. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at @TalkAstonVilla. You can, of course, tweet the team on Twitter as well, at 7500 to Holt. Almost stumbled that. And of course, if you want to email the podcast for any given reason, tell a story, whatever it is, it's HoltCast@gmail.com. We'll wrap it up there. Hopefully an entertaining game on Sunday. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.